The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
This is Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. Do you want to live a more fulfilling life? Do you want to live your legacy and achieve your personal, professional, and financial goals? Well, coming up on Divya Parekh's Beyond Confidence, you will hear real stories of leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers who have stepped into discomfort, shattered their status quo, and are living the life they want. You will learn how relationships are the key to achieving your aspirations and financial goals. Moving your career or business forward does not have to happen at the expense of your personal or family life, or vice versa. Learn more at www.divyaparekh.com and you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. This is Beyond Confidence. And now here's your host, Divya Parekh.
Welcome, listeners. This is Divya Parekh joining you again on a Monday evening. So wonderful to be with you. And I want to share, I have with us Julie Anderson. Welcome, Julie.
Oh, thank you, Divya. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's lovely to have you on the show. And Julie Anderson is also known as the Brain Lady Speaker. She's an in-demand international public speaker, wielding her expertise in brain science to bring solution-based training into organizations and with entrepreneurs for business, communications, relationship, and life success, resulting in increasing productivity, preventing conflicts, and breaking through barriers in business and life. An established brain authority in the media, Julie has been interviewed by ABC, Fox, UPN, and is a frequent expert guest on many radio networks. She's also host of the Brain Lady Speaks radio show on the Lessons in Joyful Living radio network. Julie has done extensive research in the areas of personality types, brain function and anatomy, brain health, and brain personality connection. She has studied natural health, psychology, human resource development, and psychoneuroimmunology. That is a lot of areas, Julie, that you have been learning. Sounds like you're a lifelong student.
I am. I love learning. I don't ever want to stop. I figure when my brain will die when I stop learning.
And, you know, as they say, that brain is very plastic. Neuroplastic, you know, the plasticity has been talked about everywhere and anywhere. Like, it has become so common nowadays that most of the people know about it. Do you want to share your research on it?
Well, the great thing about the neuroplasticity of the brain is that it allows us to continue to learn. It allows us to continue to create new neural pathways in our brain through learning. I oftentimes tell people that that's our greatest asset that we have to stave off all of these brain fog or dementia or Alzheimer's or anything like that. It's the more neural pathways that you create, the more neural pathways you can lose before you really start to notice it. In other words, you know, if there's only one road going from one town to another town, if that road gets washed out in a storm, you're stuck. You can't access that other town. But if you've got 10 roads and one gets washed out in a storm, that's okay. You still have other routes that you can take. And it's kind of the same thing with continuing to learn and stretch your brain and exercise your brain, learn new skills, learn to play a musical instrument, just learn anything that's going to stretch your brain, anything that your brain doesn't already know. And you're creating these additional neural pathways and these additional neural connections. And by doing that, you're just going to have more to access when ones begin to die off. Mm-hmm. So lots of fun information coming out of that.
Oh, you're absolutely right, because there's a famous saying, neurons that fire together, wire together.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what ignited the spark in you to go after neuroscience?
Well, I was actually 22 years ago, I kind of started my journey into the brain, and I was studying at the time in the field of natural health. I wanted to become a doctor of naturopathy. And one of the course requirements for the program that I was taking was on psychoneuroimmunology, which is that connection between your thought process, what you're thinking in your mind, the chemical reactions within your brain, and then how that in turn will affect your immune system for the good or the bad. And it fascinated me that science now had tangible proof, or at the time was showing tangible proof, that basically that old adage, if you get stressed out, you're going to make yourself sick. Well, now they could prove why. And that was just fascinating to me. And they could prove it through brain science. So that just sent me into a journey of researching everything I could that had to do with not necessarily neuroscience in terms of neurological disorders, but more how the functioning of our brain affects who we are, why we do what we do, and how that information can help us lead a healthier, happier life and have healthier, happier relationships. And so it's just been an ongoing journey. And like you said, I just continue to learn. I just continue to read more white papers and researchers and just have fun with it, because the brain, the information coming out of the field of neuroscience on the brain is never ending. It's just continuing to expand. So I'll never fill up my brain, that's for sure.
And that's the beauty of our brains, that, you know, it's so easy to get into this age-old tale, or the wife's tale, we want to say, oh, you know, I'm getting old, I forget. And it's okay if you forget, because that's what happens with age. Yet at the same time, the brain is so phenomenally plastic that you can create new neurons just by creating new habits. And that's one of the things, what happens is that as you create new habits, you're creating new neural pathways, as you mentioned. And we already have questions rolling in. So one of the questions is it easy to learn people?
To learn how to read people? Do you think that's what they're asking?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it takes a little bit of practice in the beginning, but once you start, I tell people, when I'm watching and talking to people, I see this big brain. You know, it's like I am able to just, with asking a few questions and noticing a little bit about body language, it becomes second hand rather, and you can really start to just automatically pick up on what their brain, how their brain needs to communicate, and what their personality brain connection is, and then how to bridge that. I mean, I've been doing it for a long time, but once you digest the information and get the basics down, it's not that difficult once you put it into practice for a little bit.
Absolutely. It's about making and cultivating new habits, because when you create new learning and if you keep on practicing it, it becomes as a habit, just like any of your old habits, and then the brain functions on autopilot. And
yeah.
The next question is, what can you gain by having this knowledge?
Oh, so much more in your relationships. Just so much more in your relationships. Because here's what we naturally tend to do. We all just naturally tend to communicate or send messages based on the way our brain is wired, based on our life experience and what we need and want to hear, see, and feel. But most of the time, the person you're interacting with is different, and different enough where they're not always going to get that information or always get the message that you're sending. So it leads to a lot of misunderstandings. In business, it leads to loss in sales. You know, you're not making as much connection with other business people or with potential clients because you're sending information the way you think it should be sent, rather than stopping and thinking, how does their brain need to receive the information? And then you talk their brain language instead of talking your brain language. So you start to communicate in a way that their brain is going to get the message that you're sending. And when you do that, immediately you notice changes in your relationships. You begin to notice, or you begin to get your message across better. You bring on new clients in your sales. You keep your current clients happier. And there's so much less frustration. And in addition to less frustration, there's a lot of less taking things personally, you know, because all of a sudden you're able to go, you know what, that is completely opposite of what I think But that's okay. It doesn't mean I'm wrong and it doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means our brains are wired differently, and therefore our perspective and our processing of the life and world around us is different. So it's just different. It's not better or worse, right or wrong. It's just different. So you don't get as offended as often, and you don't offend people as often. So the results can be really very immediate.
Mm-hmm. No, that is absolutely the truth, that the results can be immediate, because as you mentioned, Julie, that, you know, what happens is in our hippocampus, what we're doing is we are storing our memories. So basically whatever experiences we go through, they're stored. And those are the filters that we perceive the whole world through. And the brain prepares us, because brain loves to conserve energy rather than optimize and go the long route. So on that note, one of the questions that has come through is that, can anyone ever actually fill the brain?
Currently, no. You would have to live a whole lot longer than what we live to completely fill the brain, because our brains just continue to make new neural networks. And currently, we just are not anywhere close to our intellectual capacity. We're not even anywhere close. So yeah, at this point, nope, you can't fill it.
You can fill it. And yes, you know, we say that brains change as we age, yet nowadays, you know, what they say is that new 60s is new 40s. That is so true, because people are feeling young. People have attitudes that perceive themselves to be young. And as such, you know, they're exercising, they're living the life. So when you're combining the two together, life becomes much better. And the next question is, why does the brain change as we grow older?
Well, there's two facets to what I call the brain personality connection. One is your DNA wiring. This is your coding. This is the same as whether or not you're blue-eyed or you're brown-eyed, right? And the other is your nurture, or the things that happen around you, your life experiences. And that is always changing. You're always having a new experience. Every day is a new experience. And so that is constantly changing the brain. And the brain will even prune out periodically unused sections of the brain. So it's not going to waste oxygen, glucose, and micronutrition on feeding neural connections that aren't being used. It's called pruning, and it just kind of prunes that out to make space for things that are being used. So the brain is in this constant metamorphosis of change and bringing in new information, and every new experience connects to old experiences and enhances your knowledge base or your memories or your interactions with other people. So it's this constant new connections, especially if you're constantly out there doing things and experiencing things in life that give you those rich experiences that create new neural connections in the brain.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely the truth. And is there any truth that if you keep learning, you will not get dementia or other brain loss?
Well, there's no currently at this point in time, and I'm not a neurologist. I can't say, you know, give neurological advice in terms of health. However, currently there is no cure, a complete cure for dementia or Alzheimer's. They are working on all kinds of different studies and different materials passing through the blood-brain barrier. I mean, it's just this constant area of research. So I can't say that we can completely guarantee that if you do certain actions, you will never get dementia or Alzheimer's or have this brain, you know, the brain kind of fading off as we age. However, they have done some long-term studies. There was one amazing study that they did in, I believe it was Denmark, and it was over the period of 20 years. And they watched different activities that their study groups were doing, that their control groups were doing. And they found that there were definitely certain things that would reduce your risk of getting these types of neurological disorders as you age. For example, I believe it was 25%, let's see, doing crossword puzzles 3 times per week was shown to reduce your risk by somewhere between 20 and 25%. The most outstanding one to me was dancing. If you did dancing, especially couples dancing or dancing that required choreographic movement, if you did that on a regular weekly basis, your rate in this control group that they had, their rate of risk of dementia or brain, you know, deterioration went down by 75%. It was a huge reduction in your risk of having these, you know, this early brain breakdown that happens when you go through dementia and Alzheimer's, those types of things. So while there's no cure, there's definitely been a lot of research and is continuing to be ongoing research on things that we can actively do in our day-to-day lives that will reduce our risk. And that includes different types of things that you eat, having a healthy lifestyle, physical exercise. So there are a lot of things that you can do to be proactive and reduce your risk of getting the disorders.
Oh, that is fantastic. And that's one of the studies I've never heard of. So thank you for sharing. I love dancing. And I think so after listening to that, I'm definitely going to start include dancing. Exercise routine.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's also something about music, because when you have that combination of exercise with music, music is a global language. You do not need to understand what it's about. It's just about going with the rhythm and dancing to the tune of it, as they say. So definitely, listeners, you know, great questions. Keep them coming. And as I mentioned, you know, if you like dancing, go ahead and include it in your lifestyle. I mean, crossword puzzles are pretty good. It depends if you like them or not. But these are like, you know, right, few ways that you can add to your life and yeah, reduce risk tremendously.
Yeah. Oh, I just looked up in my notes the figures. It was 47% doing crossword puzzles for at least 4 days a week. And reading was 35% reduction in dementia if you did reading on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And yes, 76% dancing regularly, dancing frequently.
Mm-hmm. More the reason to dance and be happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our brains are definitely wired for music.
Mm-hmm. And so do share that, you know, once you, I know we have been so engrossed in the questions, and I love your questions, listeners, because that's what makes our show really rich, because we are able to help you out and help answer those questions. So the question that comes to my mind is that once you started learning the neuroimmunopsychology and natural health, how did you blend the two? And how did you use this knowledge in your personal life and for the benefit of others?
Well, it was seeing the benefit of it in my personal life that made me want to share it with others. So immediately I was homeschooling my kids at the time. I have 3 sons. They're 29, 27, and almost 25. And at the time I was in the midst of homeschooling them. So the first big difference that I noticed that I was able to implement in my life was being able to teach in a different way. So I began teaching in a way that the brain likes to be taught, as opposed to the traditional way of schooling. Because the traditional way of schooling in the Western world is very, very, it's just directly opposed to the way that the brain likes to learn and is comfortable learning and for maximum memory retention. So I immediately began to make those adjustments in our day-to-day teaching with the kids. In addition to that, it just emphasized to me even more so the need to just kind of let go of all anxieties and stresses and really, really look at in your life, and this was the psychoneuroimmunology piece, really, really look at in your life what you get stressed out over and is it really worth it? Because undeniably, science is showing us that if you are having negative emotions, if you're experiencing a lot of negative emotions, you will have a reduction in your immune cell production. It's going to happen. So you have to start to say, is it worth it? You know, if I'm stressing over something is it worth depleting my immune system and going down a path of poor health? And it's really not, because 9 times out of 10, the thing that we get stressed out about is something that's completely out of our control, and it's not going to do any good whatsoever to be stressed about it. So I began this, I've always been a fairly positive person, but I became even more passionate about spreading that positivity and saying, with my kids, with my family, with the people I interacted with my clients, if this is something that you can't control, don't stress over it, because it's just going to make your life worse. If you're still stressing over something that happened in the past, it's the, you're allowing those things to control your happiness now. And as a result, you're actually doing damage to your health. So it really started changing, adjusting my behavior. And to this day, when I get upset or I get frustrated about something, I will almost always within 5 minutes take a deep breath and go, okay, wait a minute. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not worth losing immune cells over. So it immediately made changes in my life and in my relationships and in the way I viewed those relationships and interacted with other people.
Mm-hmm. Very well said, Julie, because you're definitely right on the mark saying that, you know, what happens is that, you know, the negativity does impact the immune system. So one of the questions that has come through is that, so if we have negative thoughts, will we make ourselves sick? So as a biochemist by education and doing decades of research on it, I can definitely share that with you that, you know, there are two types of stress. One is a eustress, which is a good stress, mm-hmm. And one is a chronic stress. So if, as long as the stress does not become chronic, your body has this tremendous potential to recover back. So don't think that, you know, that just because you're having negative thoughts, you're going to be sick. And you, the key is allowing and accepting it. So Julie, can you share your thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree completely. And the sad thing is that a lot of people don't realize how much it is affecting them. You know, people don't realize that they spend half their day walking around with their shoulders at their ears because they're so tense and they're so stressed out, because it's become, because chronic stress has become so much a part of their day-to-day routine that they don't necessarily realize what it's doing to them. And it's very, there are some simple, it's not always easy, but there are some very simple techniques to assist you in starting to let go of stress. But absolutely, it's, you know, physical stress, when you exercise, that's stressing out your muscles. So that's, again, that's what you said, you know, there are situations that are positive. But if you are overstressing, if your amygdala is kicking into gear, and the amygdala is down in the action portion or the emotion portion of the brain, when it gets stressed out, it shuts down the non-essential body functions of digestion and immune system, non-essential for this very second, to save your life. And it sends these glucocorticoids and as well as adrenaline and all of this stuff into your body so that you can deal with the source of the stress. And if this is happening on a day-to-day basis, then every day you're affecting your digestive system, you're affecting your immune system, you're taking and flushing your body with adrenaline and all kinds of hormones that are gonna wear your body out. So it is very important that you try to manage your stress, or that you work at managing your stress, so it's not chronic and long-term day after day, so that every single day you're sending your body through this chemical reaction that's going to do damage to itself.
Mm-hmm. And is there any way people can figure out things? Because, you know, I think so you had initially mentioned something about brain personality connection.
Yes. How people can figure out what they are or what other people are?
Well, the question just says that, you know, are there, like, how, like, what are the tests? What are the techniques? Oh. What are the ways people can figure things out?
Got it. Okay. I do have, actually, I have many assessments that you can take that are simplified versions of my 14-page questionnaire that I have that just kind of give you an overall view of what your communication style is, what your main processing way that you process, which portion of the brain you're using with the greatest amount of ease. So there are little assessments that we can give people that we work with to help them to really identify the difference between someone who thinks primarily with their left brain versus someone who thinks primarily with their right brain, or someone that communicates via better through touch and tangible hands-on activity versus someone who communicates more by seeing the picture. You know, whereas once you start to identify those things in people, then you can start to adjust your way of communicating with them and of making that connection with them in relationships and sales and whatnot. But yeah, there's little assessments out there that we have that work, as well as a more intense 14-page assessment.
So let's talk about, you know, yes, we have talked about assessments, and sometimes people don't have access to those assessments. So for our listeners, if you're open to sharing, you know, can you share a few tips that people can find out about different things, a little bit about their style of communication, on how things can be improved in their lives?
Yeah. The first thing you have to do is you kind of have to understand, I'm trying to see how concisely I can do this quickly so that we can get some solid information to your listeners. Just for example, the left brain and the right brain, there's certain very distinctive markers about the left brain that's different from the right brain. And when you learn those markers, you can start in communicating with someone, depending on what they're emphasizing in their speech, is going to indicate whether or not they prefer using their left brain or their right brain. So when you're looking at the cerebrum and you're looking at the brain, current research, some of it coming out of Stanford University in California, Dr. Richard Heyer was able to determine that individuals out of the four main quadrants in the brain, in the cerebrum, the four main quadrants, each individual uses less energy, oxygen, and glucose and micronutrition to use one of those four quadrants. And each of those quadrants have specific tasks attached to them. So left brainers, left brain is where all the words are housed in your brain. Right brain is where the pictures are housed. The right brain has many more neural connections to the emotion section of the brain. So right brainers think more in pictures, and they see, feel, and experience more emotion in their life. So the things that they like to do are generally have to do with more exploring new experiences, connecting with people, being with nature, those types of things. Whereas the left brainers, they're more matter of fact, more analytical. They're more to the point. They want the facts. They don't want the emotion. So when you're talking and communicating with someone and you come across an individual and they indicate to you that, you know what, they don't like all the emotion. They don't like all the drama. Or when they read books, they read books on great leaders or historical facts versus, oh no, I love reading the romance fiction or the science fiction or the books on psychology. Okay, you know, those ones are going to be right brainers, and the great leaders and the history books are going to be left brainers. Does this make sense? So immediately you kind of know, okay, I have to now mirror that. So if I'm talking to a left brainer, I'm not going to talk about a lot of emotion or connecting with people and places. I'm going to talk about the facts and great achievements. And if I'm trying to sell to you how you working with me is going to benefit your business and you're going to have a greater profit, and that's going to be what's going to appeal to left brainers versus the new, the innovative, and the emotion of the right brainers. And I hope that made some sense. I was trying to put it in a nutshell.
Perfect sense, Julie, because you're absolutely right. It's how do people learn? How do people connect with different things? And that is such a huge part. And that's why there are so many different personality assessments, ranging from DISC to MBTI to Kolbe's Index and to Strength Finder to so many more. And it's important to know the different types of intelligence. It's important to know what different types of personalities are. And as a small tidbit, listeners, for yourself, you know, in addition to the fantastic information we are getting from Julie, is listen. Sometimes just doing active listening and observing people will give you so much information that you will not even realize that you had been missing out on. Because so many times what happens is we are in a conversation and the other person has not even finished speaking to us. And what we are thinking is, what am I going to say? to this person. So rather than thinking that, take a pause and listen, give your full attention to the other person, and you'll be able to find out the phrases they're using. And Julie, you mentioned it so clearly that, you know, the left brain people are a matter of fact. So listen to their words, you know, what they're using. Are they referencing images? Are they referencing pictures as metaphors? Are they sharing just direct numbers? Because so many times what happens is that they will be referencing numbers, or they will be talking about statistics and data. And when they're doing that, you immediately know, okay, this is a left brain person, and this is a right brain person.
Yep. And I always tell people, mirror it. So whatever you see, feel, and hear coming from the other people, then adjust your way of communicating to match them, because then they're going to get the message faster. You know, once you notice those little nuances, then communicate. I'm not saying you have to change who you are or mask your true personality. I'm just saying mirror the method or the way that they're talking and the way that they're saying things. That's going to help them to get your message better.
That is great advice, because that's what our brains prefer, right? Mirror neurons, because that's what it happens, especially if you are in a situation where, you know, let's say if you're in a party and if you're talking to somebody and somebody is in a somber mood, you're not going to be laughing at them. You mm-hmm. are automatically mirroring it. So that is fantastic advice. And similarly, you can break a chain in the sense that if somebody is down and if you just kind of give them a smile, that can break the ice as well.
Absolutely.
So Julie, talking about this, do share what are one of your top most memories from your childhood?
Top memories from my childhood. In terms of what? Narrow it down for me. in an experience that I had, something I learned, or just a very fond memory?
Whatever comes to your mind, that's something that you can just share that, you know, that, okay, I close my eyes and what comes right on the screen of my brain?
Oh, probably spending time with my grandmother. I loved going to my Bama's house. It was Bama and Papa with my mom's mom and dad. And my Bama was just, she was just the quintessential grandma. You know, she was the one that baked, and she was the one that would always buy us little trinkets and make us little things. And we used to, when we would out to her house, you know, she would make us popcorn and we'd sit and watch popcorn and movies with her. And yeah, it would probably be time that I spent with my Bama.
So the reason we are talking about the memories is that, you know, even when you are talking about your grandma, I can hear that good times. I can hear those fun memories in your voice. And as you had mentioned, Julie, that yes, we can have all the knowledge we want about the brain, but it's about implementing in our lives. Mm-hmm. It's about taking what Julie has said and putting it into action. So especially if you're in stress, letting it go. So when we talk about letting it go, I recall you mentioning something about that, you know, when you started learning it, you started implementing it with your children. Do you have few nuggets for moms? And it can be professional moms or entrepreneurial moms, moms or moms. What quick techniques they can use to have great relationship with their teenagers, children, and give them the tools to face challenges and push through fears?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So to start with, give yourself a break in terms of just take a deep breath and don't expect perfection. Our kids don't need perfection. They need us. You know, they need being a parent. And oftentimes there's just too much emphasis put on, you know, being the perfect parent and having the perfect party and making the perfect treats. And just take a breather. Let them have who you truly are. And the second is keep in mind their developing brain. There is so much going on in the brain of our children from conception until you're 23, 24 years old. So keep that in mind when you're interacting with them. Of course, as infants and babies, physically be with them as much as you possibly can. As toddlers, get down on the floor and play with them. Pick up their toys with them. Drive the cars on the floor with them. That interaction is going to make such a rich connection in their brain. Babies, young children, they learn the best through play. And the best way that you can connect with them and the best way that you can help to foster their brain growth is to be with them, read to them, play with them, interact with them. That's going to be the best for their brain growth. The second biggest thing is to really keep in mind what isn't there yet. You know, when we look at our kids and sometimes we just go, what on earth are they thinking? Or our teenagers, and we're like, were they even thinking? You know, were they, why did they just do that? That was just so ridiculous. And when we let that frustration out, it's just counterproductive to a healthy relationship. But when we understand that they really aren't playing with a full deck yet, a very, very critical, very critical. And this is something that I'm discussing in the next couple of weeks on my radio show, that the teen brain is missing the connection to the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex in the brain is this amazing portion of the brain that gives us as human beings the ability to reason, the ability to understand the consequences for our actions, the ability to problem solve and think through situations and navigate our way through situations for a positive outcome. The prefrontal cortex is not completely wired until you're somewhere around 23, 24 years old. So you get these teenagers that are starting to look like adults. They're developing and growing up. And at times you can have very intelligent conversations with them and you think, oh my goodness, they're getting so mature. And then they turn around the next day and they do something that's so ridiculous. It can be really frustrating. But it's at that point you have to stop and go, okay, wait a minute. They don't have the prefrontal cortex wired to the emotion center of their brain yet. So it's going to be difficult for them to explain to you what they're feeling, because it's going to be hard for them to put in words, because they really don't know. Half the time when they do silly things, they're trying to experience in life, but they don't really even know why they did them, because they're not able to go to think through the consequence of their actions because they don't have the wiring yet. It's like all the lights are installed in the house, but nobody's gone to the back room and flipped the breaker on yet. And until, you know, until that electricity is running through those wires, the lights are not going to come on. So I tell parents, when you're dealing with your teenagers, especially, you have to be their prefrontal cortex. So you have to help them reason matters out, because they physically, literally do not have the brain capacity to do so yet. So don't get frustrated with them. Just help to be their prefrontal cortex and walk them through those steps. And when you see them do something that you think is totally ridiculous, understand that they just don't have the wiring quite yet in their brain. And that will help to reduce your frustration. And we haven't even talked about hormones yet, so.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the raging hormones as they speak. And actually talking about what you were mentioning about, that studies have shown recently that the brain does not develop in human beings until they're 24. And I and my friend were talking about it, and she has a couple of teenage kids. And she was mentioning, I'm telling my daughters that they cannot date till they're 24. I said, okay, you did not. You're not going to relate that back to me. And we were just laughing about it. But it was pretty interesting. And of course, the key is, you know, Julie, as you mentioned, is it's important to have your lights on.
Yes.
Especially in the face and the fact that, you know, their lights are not on because they cannot put the breakers on. They cannot think in rational terms that most adults do. And you know what? Even most adults, especially if you're sitting on highway, you see people trying to overtake, you know, pass through each lane and honking at each other. So sometimes you wonder whether the brain's fully developed or not. Of course, you know. So just saying that, you know, as adults, we have not learned to have patience and exercise full control of our prefrontal cortex, which is our so-called rational brain, then why not give a teenager some slack and give them room to grow?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Understanding is the biggest key. And when you understand, it reduces frustration, because then it's like, oh, you just take a breath and go, okay, all right, we got this. Let's look at this from a different direction. Let's be patient. It works much better.
And you're creating happy memories for your teenagers that, oh, you know, my parents were good. They could understand me. So going on that note, one of our listeners has a question. What do our memories do for us?
Oh, memories are a mixed bag. Memories, there's so much research, again, constant research going on about memories, because memories are malleable, which means that they can be augmented over time. They can be implanted, but they can also, probably the most notable thing that they do is when you are recalling a memory and your brain is being scanned, the same portions of your brain that lit up when you were first experiencing that will also light up when you are recalling that memory. And this can work for us and it can work against us. And what I mean by that is, if you are recalling a negative memory, the emotions that flood in and the feelings that you feel can be just as real as when you first experienced that episode or that thing. So it can bring us down. But the great thing about it is the opposite also works. So when you, like you just had me recall that positive thing from my grandmother, time I spent with my grandmother. In terms of brain chemistry, what literally happened in my brain at that moment is those same set of endorphins, those same positive chemical reaction that took place in my brain when I was initially experiencing those things are now reintroduced to my brain again. So one of the ways that you can almost instantly change your brain chemistry into something more positive and release endorphins and dopamine into the brain is to recall a good time, recall something positive that made us feel good, that made us happy. And that will instantly release different neurochemistry or change the neurochemistry in your brain. So memories are very powerful, as well as keeping us attached to things in the past and important things in the past, but they can literally change the neurochemistry in our brain.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And if you were to share 3 nuggets of wisdom from your life with our listeners, what would they be?
Let me take a deep breath here. 3 nuggets. I think the first one is smile and be happy as much as you can. Happiness is a choice, and it's something that is within all of our capacity to have. And when you do that, you're feeding your brain with positive chemistry. And when you feed your brain with positive chemistry, science has shown that you literally can increase your white blood cell production. So stay as positive and as happy as you possibly can. And do things on a daily basis. Watch YouTube videos that make you laugh. Go out and breathe fresh air. You know, do things that are going to make you happy every day. That would be one. 2 would definitely be, be easy on yourself and others in terms of how critical we are about people. If you're having a disagreement with somebody, or somebody's not seeing things the way you think they should see it, or you're not seeing things the way they think that you should see it, understand it's just the difference in the brain. Like I said earlier, it doesn't mean you're right, doesn't mean you're wrong, doesn't mean they're right, doesn't mean they're wrong. It's just their opinion. It's just the way their brain is wired. It's just the way their life experiences have shaped them versus the way your brain is wired and your life experiences have shaped you. And just accept and embrace that difference and don't take it personal. Let it go. Because when you stop taking things personal, then relationships immediately become richer and become better. And you don't feel a lot of that stress. Let's see, the third one, dance.
Oh, I've definitely
dance. down. If all else fails, put on your favorite tune and dance.
So if our listeners wanted to reach out to you, what would be a good place they could reach out? And if you want to share about yourself with the listeners, that would be great.
You know what? I try to touch in with social media on a fairly regular basis. So I'm Purple Brain Lady on Facebook, as well as Your Best Mind Online on Facebook. That is my website as well, is www.yourbestmindonline.com. And then I'm Brain Lady on Twitter, at Brain Lady on Twitter. I am Brain Lady on LinkedIn. I am Brain Lady Julie on Instagram. So you can reach out on any of those areas. I do have a weekly radio show, podcast radio show that I do live every Wednesday morning called Brain Lady Speaks. So you can follow that on brainladyspeaks.com. And I would just love, anybody wants to shoot me a message on Facebook or shoot me an email at info@yourbestmindonline.com. I would love to hear from you guys. I would love to interact and answer any questions that you might have. If it's within my knowledge base to do so, I will do so. If not, I will try to send you in the direction of where you can get the answers. So yeah, stay connected with me. I would love it.
Thank you, Julie. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be here. I love talking brain stuff. Divya, love it, love it, love it. So thank you. I'm honored to have been your guest today.
Oh, no, this is something right up my alley. And, you know, I'm always fascinated by science, biochemistry, and neuroscience. So it was such a pleasure. Thank you for sharing nuggets and your wisdom.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners. So appreciated. And thank you for sharing that. This was a fun show. And thank you for doing this one. So thank you for your comments, listeners, because without you, the show would not be possible. And again, a special thank you to Rebel for making this show possible. So again, I'm at your service, listeners. Please reach out to me at contact@divyaparekh.com and let me know what stories I can bring you. What else can I bring you and be of your service to you so that I can make your lives better, support you in your quest of happiness, success, whatever your quest is. I'm here for you, so contact me at contact@divyaparekh.com, and we'll be talking again soon. Take care and be brilliant until next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for being part of Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. We hope you have learned more about how to start living the life you want. Each week on Beyond Confidence, you hear stories of real people who have experienced growth by overcoming their fears and building meaningful relationships. During Beyond Confidence, Divya Parekh shares what happened to her when she stepped out of her comfort zone to work directly with people across the globe. She not only coaches people how to form heart connections, but also transform relationships to mutually beneficial partnerships as they strive to live the life they want. If you are ready to live the life you want and leverage your strengths, learn more at www.divyaparekh.com. And you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. We look forward to you joining us next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.